Hello, I'm Andrew Shields, and I'm a fellow of the Chartered Banker Institute. Welcome to episode 5 of our podcast series, Banking Transformations, a deep dive into modern payment services. Today, I'm joined once again by Kate Frankish, Chief Business Development Officer at Pay UK. And today, I'll be talking with Kate about fraud prevention innovation and how it can help businesses. So, welcome again to the podcast, Kate.
Hi, Andrew. Nice to be here.
So let's start off just by asking, in the spring of this year, the FCA was consulting on changes to its guidance on the prevention of financial crime. And aside from the vital work you're doing at Pay UK around the prevention of push payment fraud and confirmation of payee, which we've covered in previous episodes, I understand that you're also looking at further innovation around fraud detection and prevention. So what can you share with our listeners about this work, please?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andrew. So, just before I start on that, what the day that we are recording this podcast is the day after the APP reimbursement regulation went live, and the industry has really stepped up, and we have our platform and the faster payment rules changes live, and we're starting to see cases flowing through, which is a great outcome for victims of fraud, ensuring that doesn't matter who you bank with, that you're reimbursed if you are a victim of valid fraud. Also, on confirmation of payee, we have switched over from the Open Banking Directory on the 22nd of September, and that service now sits on our Pay.UK platform. Everything is stable, and we're onboarding the last remaining confirmation of payee customers so that the whole of the UK will be covered again by that check when you're setting up a new payment. So that's brilliant news. Lots of grey hairs and late nights in Pay.UK and across the industry, but we are there. So the whole story of fraud, that's great. COP helps with a check up front to try and prevent some types of APP payment fraud. And the reimbursement policy helps victims of fraud be reimbursed. But there are other things in the middle where detection and prevention is really important. And we certainly see that at the centre, where 98% of APP fraud happens on the Faster Payments platform. So we've got two current innovation projects live with the industry. The first one is called Enhanced Fraud Data. Like a snappy name in Pay.UK. And that's really around how can you, like with a confirmation of payee check, how can banks, before a payment is made, share more information to allow the sending or receiving bank to understand whether a transaction looks potentially fraudulent or not, and allowing either the sending or receiving bank to put that transaction into a queue for the fraud team to work. The type of information that API call would share are things like the account tenure, the type of account, is it a business, is it a personal account? What does this transaction look like? It's normal or not? Is it out of kilter? And that's really important because some of the patterns that we see in mule accounts are quite obvious that there is a problem with potentially the receiving account. So that work has been ongoing for some time working with UK Finance. We have done a couple of proof of concepts through UK Finance, which has shown a really good uplift in fraud detection rates and a drop in false positive rates. And that just means that less real payments are stopped and worked, and only really the fraudulent ones are focused on, which is great news from an operational perspective for banks. The service, the standard for the service, everything is ready. What we're doing now is working with industry to understand commitment. So, who is prepared to sign up for this product? It's really a network product like confirmation of payee. So, the more banks and PSPs who sign up, the better. And we'll only complete the development of the product if we have the right levels of commitment to fund that development. So, that's enhanced fraud data. And then the second item is called the fraud detection overlay. And that we did a proof of concept with three companies last year: Visa, Synectics, and Featurespace, and they manage AI and machine learning platforms to spot fraudulent patterns. That proof of concept was a massive success. We got 50% of our Faster Payments customers to sign up to their data to be used in that proof of concept, and it showed an uplift of up to 53% in fraud detection capability. So really exciting stuff that we're now looking to productionize and have a solution at the center that customers, banks and PSPs can choose to use to add to their fraud prevention capabilities. So those two are really the focus areas from us from an innovation perspective.
That's great, Kate. Some really exciting developments going on there by the sound of things. So thank you for that update. Moving along, what are the cutting edge technologies that you're looking to deploy to prevent fraud? For example, what sort of role is artificial intelligence playing in fraud prevention, please?
Yeah, artificial intelligence is the, you know, it's a term that's on everybody's lips these days, and it's, you know, it can be used for good and it can be used for bad. And I'm sure fraudsters are using it for bad. and we do see those types of patterns. But the proof of concept I just talked about for our fraud detection overlay was really testing AI models to see if they had a significant amount of data, so 13 months worth of Faster Payments data, which is billions and billions of payment transactions, could it help the AI model be more proficient? And the simple answer is yes. And anybody who works in data and understands AI and machine learning will know that, you know, proving a hypothesis that more having access to a wider set of relevant data will increase effectiveness. So AI is really quite important, and there are already some great products and services out there. In fact, Booklink and MasterCard, who we work with, who provide our infrastructure, provide a number of those products in market today, and they are helping the industry detect more fraud. So AI is really, really key, Andrew.
Thanks, Kate. So what are the key challenges to implementing fraud prevention innovations across all payment services providers?
Yeah, I suppose the biggest challenge. So if you think about how non-card fraud happens, it normally starts, I think it's stats are, 78% of non-card fraud starts on social media. So it starts on a social media platform with an individual or a business being basically socially engineered into thinking that they're going to be sending money to an organization or a person that's actually not the person or organization that they do send the money to. So it starts at that end. And then there's a relationship that builds up over a period of time, and then the money is cashed out. So at Pay.UK and the Faster Payments platform, we're the end kind of shield. So all the way through that process, banks have very good fraud detection and prevention capability already, although the fraudsters are very clever and move at pace. We're trying to put in place something that at the end, if there's still fraud coming through, we can help catch it for the banks and PSPs who use our services. One of the key challenges is ideally you would have an all-encompassing data sharing agreement at the payment system operator level, so at Pay.UK level, that anybody who is using the Faster Payments platform signs up to. But actually doing that in practice, quite rightly, is very difficult because every single bank and their data protection lawyers are looking to protect themselves against issues like a fine for a data breach or all of the GDPR requirements that every financial services company needs to follow. So that data sharing agreement is the hardest part, but it's also the most powerful tool once it's in place, as long as us as the payment system operator, who are the data processor, only do with that data with third parties what all of the banks and PSPs who contract with us allow us to do. as controllers, because it's their data, their customers' data. So the data sharing part is really the hardest, but it's the thing that will unlock the most value and allow the UK financial services industry to move at pace against fraudsters.
Thank you. So with our listeners in mind, how would you advise our members to engage with these new innovative areas of fraud prevention and detection?
Yeah, so we have a fraud innovation group that we run every 2 weeks that has a mixture of lots of different sizes of banks and PSPs involved. It's predominantly the fraud experts from those organisations who attend, because they are at the front line and they see through their fraud operational teams what's happening, what the changes in fraud patterns are, etc. So anybody's welcome to join that fraud innovation group. So if that's something you're interested in, you know, come onto our website. There's lots of different contact details on the website, and email us and let us know. But we'd love more people to be involved and more people to be helping push the boundaries of what we're trying to enable for the market in a secure way.
That's good to hear. So clearly, tackling financial crime must be a collective effort. So what have been or are some of the main blockers you see to the different parts of the sector working and innovating together? For example, it's been reported that there are some concerns in the sector that the prioritisation of reimbursement over crime prevention could mean that fraud becomes a greater problem. So how would you respond to that concern, please?
Yeah, and it is a debate that's been ongoing. And if I think about what the PSR are looking to do by putting in place the APPR reimbursement policy, they are looking to make sure that all banks and PSPs take really seriously the types of fraud controls they put in place to protect their end users, their consumers and businesses. And by sharing reimbursement 50-50 between the sending and receiving bank, that does help really sharpen everybody's pencils and get each organisation to look at, okay, so ideally everybody wants less fraud in the system to begin with, so that they're not having to reimburse and actually the victims don't have to go through that crime in the first place. So what's difficult about innovating together? I think with everything, certainly as a payment system operator at the centre of the UK payments industry, you know, every bank and PSP we have working with us has a different strategy, a different approach, a different set of shareholders and stakeholders that they have to appease. So it is difficult to corral everybody to one particular outcome. I think what we hear loud and clear, and nobody's ever, and I wouldn't expect anyone to say, we hear loud and clear that everybody wants less fraud in the system. We certainly do, because we want individuals and businesses to feel confident about making payments through faster payments. So it's not that there's not a will. It's about how do we do that in a way that protects everybody's interests and particularly protects against the risk of fines, significant fines for things like data breaches. And that's where we have to work more closely with HMT and government offices to really work through how do we help financial services companies get comfortable with data sharing in a very controlled way, so that you know, financial crime prevention can actually be focused on and move at pace.
Okay, thanks, Kate. So is the proposed refund amount a block on innovation? And do you think it could push some early stage businesses over the edge?
Yeah, so if you'll, just for everybody who's not been so involved with the APP reimbursement regime, the limit of reimbursement was set to be £415,000 per case. So if a victim of fraud came forward and had 415,000 or more of a fraud, what would happen is the sending bank, having looked at the case, would refund their customer 415,000 and then recuperate through through the claims process, 50% of that money from the receiving bank. Now, 415,000, you know, £207,500 for a small fintech company might seem quite a lot if there were a number of cases. So there was a very significant amount of lobbying, particularly from the trade bodies who represented smaller PSPs. And just before, I think 4 weeks before we were due to go live yesterday, the PSR issued a further consultation on the limit value and suggested an alternative limit value of 85,000. Now, that has gone into force. It was agreed, I think, a week and a half before we went live, which was challenging, but we managed to make the necessary changes so that the system would work. So now the limit is £85,000, which is more palatable for smaller companies. But you know, if a victim of fraud has higher levels of loss, they can still go to the Financial Services Ombudsman, who have up to £430,000 that they can refund to a victim of fraud if they look at the case and think that somebody in the process has been negligent. So whilst the £85,000 limit probably is welcome to sectors of the financial services industry, there still is wider coverage for victims of fraud available through the Ombudsman.
Great, thanks, Kate. So regarding the role of big tech, in your view, is it an enabler for fraud or fraud prevention?
So that's a really good question. And if I go back to, I talked about the fact that 78% of APP fraud is initiated online on social media platforms, things like romance fraud, which is a really horrific fraud for victims, because as well as losing lots of money, they've also been duped into thinking they've got a relationship with somebody who they definitely don't have. So I'm really keen, as are the whole of the financial services industry, to lobby government to make sure that everybody in the chain or where fraud initiates and then actually happens has a role to play and some skin in the game. You know, obviously big tech companies have an immense amount of data, and they are really incredibly clever at using that data for various different things. And I think a focus on using that data for good would be great. I'm not saying that they don't, and I'm sure there's a lot of activity, but joining that up right from where a fraud is initiated to where a fraud is cashed out is really important if we as the UK are going to put up the right sort of fight against fraud, against very sophisticated fraud groups that we see being active. So I would like to see big tech being much more involved than in the discussions driven by government than they are today. But I think that's definitely coming if you think about how Labour are focusing on the financial crime and fraud issue as part of their focus areas.
Fantastic. Thanks, Kate. So thank you, Kate, for joining us once again today and sharing your insights into fraud prevention innovation and its importance to businesses. And I hope you, our listeners, enjoyed today's podcast. And if you did, then please feel free to share it more widely via your social media. So for now, from Kate and me, thank you and goodbye.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye now.